Hello and welcome to the Innovation Forum podcast for Friday 5th of June with me, Ian Welsh. Coming up later is an interview with Terry Lawler, Fabric Library Manager for the Naya Fabric at Eastman. We talk about consumer trends in the apparel sector and changing desire for sustainability when making purchasing choices. That's to come. First up though is the usual roundup of some sustainable business news. Global Forest Watch's latest annual report makes, as usual, pretty grim reading. The 38,000 square kilometres of primary tropical forest destroyed in 2019 was an area about the size of Switzerland, or one football pitch every 6 seconds. Brazil accounted for more than a third of the loss, with the Democratic Republic of Congo and Indonesia in second and third place, albeit a long way behind. In Brazil, illegal land grabs in various states are, Global Forest Watch says, responsible for some of the increases. In fact, deforestation within indigenous territories is typically lower. Forest watchers conclude that legal recognition of indigenous land rights does protect the forests. Swedish furniture giant IKEA has had a commitment to become fully circular by 2030 for some time, and has announced a further step towards this through a new collaboration with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation that will focus on pushing for circular economy furnishing designs and methods and accelerate transitioning to closed-loop business models and services. An initial phase of the collaboration will be to develop definitive definitions of what circular economy means, to work with upcoming designers and lobbying for better legislation where necessary. Already, 60% of IKEA's home furnishing product range is based on renewable materials, with more than 10% containing recycled content. Plastic pollution is never out of the news, and in a new piece of research in the UK from the University of Plymouth suggests that microplastics from vehicle tyres are contaminating large parts of the country's waterways and coastline. The research finds that 100 million square metres of the UK's river network and 50 square metres of coastal waters are at risk of contamination from tiny tyre particles. These are a significant and largely unrecorded source of marine microplastics, the researchers say. Tyre debris is washed by rainwater from roads into sewers and waterways, eventually reaching the sea. The report also recommends for design changes in fabrics as the best way to tackle microfiber pollution from clothing rather than filters and laundry machines. It is now thought that just wearing clothes causes as much microfiber pollution as washing processes. In Singapore, an extension of the deadline for companies to tell the government how they plan to reduce the impact of their packaging has been extended by a year to the end of March 2022 because of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, and reflects concern more generally that reining back of single-use plastic rules will be a feature around the world. Singapore has a very poor recycling rate for a developed country. Just 4% of the state's plastic waste was recycled in 2019, with the rest being burned in waste for energy facilities. This week, I've been attending Innovation Forum's online, Europe-focused Future of Food event. There were some fascinating sessions and conversations over the 2 days, and I will be interviewing some participants to reflect on the event over the coming weeks, so do listen out for those. Our rescheduled Ethical Trade and Human Rights Conference, originally to be held in London in March, will now be online on the 23rd and 24th of June. Among the confirmed speakers are business experts from L'Oreal, Mondelez International, AB InBev, Samsung, Fairtrade and Freshfields. There's currently a £100 discount on all passes, and I do hope you can take advantage of that and join us. And we're really excited about our recently launched online Sustainable Landscapes Week from 2nd to 6th November. This will include a series of focused interactive workshops around an extended conference this year over 3 days. Already signed up to take part are senior representatives from Syme Darby, April, Tate & Lyle, WWF, Burger King and the Consumer Goods Forum. Launch discounted tickets are available now, with up to £700 off full price. All details are on innovationforum.co.uk. A few weeks ago, I spoke with Terry Lawler, Fabric Library Manager for the Naya Fabric at Eastman. We talked about emerging trends and consumer habits in the apparel sector and how the coronavirus pandemic has impacted these and the fashion industry more widely. Why don't we start with a bit of an introduction? So can you just outline who you are and what you do within Naya and Eastman?
I am the Fabric Development Manager for the Naya Project in textiles. And that just means I work with our global mill partners in the creation, whether it's knit or woven, the beautiful Naya fabrics that we promote to explain our cellulosic yarn to customers at the brand level.
And Naya is Eastman's leading cellulosic fiber, isn't it?
Right. So it's the yarn component of these fabrics.
Let's think about some emerging trends that you're seeing then. How are you seeing consumer habits in fashion changing?
The COVID epidemic obviously has just really changed the landscape of retail in general. And really, right before this pandemic, we started seeing in our interactions with brands, shoppers becoming more concerned and really investigating making eco-conscious choices, purchasing decisions and really looking at the purchasing with purpose scenario. Like I said, we saw that starting before the pandemic, and now I think it's really just accelerated because the kind of quarantine consumption model that we see being researched at places like McKinsey and Company, and even through our own internal research, there's an acceleration of these consumer shifts and a growing antipathy towards waste-producing business models and a really heightened awareness of what goes into your garments and how things are made and what's the end. I think one of the biggest shifts is customers are actually concerned about the end life cycle of their garments, which we really didn't see before. And I think it's a big shift based on the pandemic mindset.
What is the end of life for your garments then, or for garments made using Naia?
What we're seeing on the consumer level, it's more a shift in terms of them understanding the materials. Because when you talk about like true sustainability in a garment, it's not so much about what's the end life cycle of every component. At Naia, we have a lot of degradable certificates and things like that, and we're really trying to make sure that our end of life is really appropriate to the market. But I do think that, honestly, the consumer is actually looking at not so much is it going to break down in soil or is it biodegradable. I think they're starting to look at the what next scenario. You know, what is next in the life of this garment that I'm buying? And that shift is going to bring about a choice of more sustainable textiles, but also more sustainable components. Because when you think about recycling, the consumer is becoming aware that decoupling the many pieces of a garment really are directly related to its recyclability or upcyclability. So the more components you have in a material or a garment, the less chance you are actually going to be able to reuse or recycle all those components. So I think that's one of the things that we're really going to see a shift towards. Higher value material choices with less component structure. I mean, if you've got a fabric that has 15 components, are they all recyclable? Are they all going to have an end of life that's a good situation? And then what next scenario? I think that's really one of the biggest shifts we're seeing.
What are the trends in fabric innovations then that you're seeing that are becoming available to help meet these shifting consumer demand patterns?
Right. Sustainability is really the first and foremost in consumers' minds. So most innovation will come directly from that consumer expectation that materials are sustainable. And that may mean process redesigns in how fibers and fabrics are created. You know, nature-based fibers and materials that are proven to have a low impact in manufacturing. Again, those aren't like innovations in terms of like wearable tech or heat-sensing fibers and fabrics. The customer is really kind of now looking for a much more broad aspect to what the textiles will do. And when I say that, I mean in terms of, I think we'll see more development in seasonless, genderless, multi-purpose fabrics. And that's going to be the real innovation in textiles. I don't know that that huge trend for high-performance nanotechnology in fibers is really going to carry through in this current mindset. Truly sustainable garments that are made with fewer materials and higher grade materials, that's actually going to be the innovation. Not so much, like I said, something new sensor technology and things like that. I really feel like our customer in the women's wear market is really more focused on what is going into this garment. And like I said, so I see the innovation coming directly from the high customer demand of total visibility of what each material does.
How would you characterize then the priority for consumers in terms of the sustainability broadly of the fabric versus other factors, the kind of the look, the feel, the cost and everything else?
I know in the US, which is my kind of specialized market, obviously we're a global company and we work with European brands and Asia brands and everybody, but having done a lot of research on the US market, I do think that there's a real shift in consumers who see themselves as sustainable shoppers. We didn't used to see that. People didn't used to quantify their purchasing as I am sustainable or I am not sustainable. We're really seeing that shift in what the shopper wants and how they're identifying themselves. That includes multiple inputs during purchase. It's not just what's this made of, or it's also circling around how is it made? What's the footprint of it? What is the brand doing? What's the social sustainability of this product in terms of workers and things like that? The consumer is going to come out of this whole situation very more honed on what's really important. People will be shopping less. So that means they're going to be looking for higher grade possibilities in the marketplace.
Okay, as we then move towards these changing circumstances, what do you think that fashion brands should be doing to rethink and make changes to their sourcing policies to really move their journey towards more sustainable fashion?
You know, one of the biggest shifts I see in what the fashion brands can do or should do to adjust, first and foremost, is going to be transparency. Transparency and in the supply chain, brands and customers are starting to really demand seeing the certifications and understanding what goes into their products. Brands will start demanding these certifications from all aspects of their production partners in their supply chain. I also think that most brands really have a concept of design and designers that may not be as appropriate as it used to be. Brands tend to design seasonal collections around a trend that is very changeable and is very fashion forward. I think that the concept of design is going to change internally in brands. Addressing the market with a sustainable design is more about enabling design to be sustainable. And I think from a brand perspective, we don't necessarily have to design a new t-shirt. We need to make the existing design more sustainable. And part of that goes to consumer education. So consumers are looking for transparencies that make these choices easier. So from a brand mindset, I think they really have to be looking at what makes this an easier choice for customers, whether it's in how they relay the message, how they approach their seasonality. The concept of designers in general has changed. It's not only in textiles anymore. It's in material engineering, production processes, 3D, CAD, sustainable designs that incorporate many different elements in the new normal. Everything in the world is designed. In the brand mindset and in the fashion industry, we tend to think of designers as people who sketch and people who dream up beautiful garments. But in fact, I think brands will shift to a more design mindset that incorporates designing supply chain to be sustainable versus designing a garment. I think that's going to be one of the biggest shifts that I think brands can make. You know, everything is designed now, whether it's your house or the algorithm that how your trash gets picked up or how your garment is made. Those are all design functions now. And I think brands are going to have to embrace that.
It's certainly a trend we're seeing in many sectors that it's all about having to make it easy for consumers. Consumers do want to change their behaviors, but they really need to make it successful brands with the ones that make it easy for other consumers to do so.
Right. Yeah. And I think designing comfortable materials too, and materials that are appropriate for multi-purpose, is going to be a brand mindset that we never had to have before. You know, we really have to have it now.
There's lots of really exciting trends, and thanks very much, Terry, for taking us through some of them today.
You're welcome.
As ever, there's plenty more insight and analysis available on the website, including the usual podcasts and interviews. As I mentioned last week, do look out for a new piece of analysis on the challenges for the agriculture sector over the next 10 years. And don't forget, there's still time to sign up for Innovation Forum's Ethical Trade and Human Rights Europe Conference on the 23rd and 24th of June. But that's all for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and I'll be back next week.